play back that tape at this time and continue live with the remainder of the communications prior to the sleep period for Cernan and Schmidt at Taurus Litro.
Calendar Houston. Go ahead.
Hey, how about if we hit a pull on a Dusky and get it in the pool and then back in the standby? We're worrying about the clock registers overflowing. And we'd like to get that done before 172.50 or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay, standby. Is that what you wanted?
No, we can't watch it, Jack. If you just tell us that you've got it in a pool and back in a PO6.
That's what happened. How'd you watch it the other night?
No, we don't have any hot bit right now.
Hello, Ken, how do you read Challenger CDR?
Loud and clear.
Challenger, how would you feel about the canister being changed now?
Stand by. Okay, change her out, Gino.
Okay.
For your information, we're trying to negotiate some time for you here. We're about 1.5 down. We know how to pick up 1 hour of it. We haven't quite figured out how to gain the other half.
Okie doke. Well, we're all on suited now, and we're about ready to talk and eat at the same time, or listen and eat here at the same time. It won't be long. We'll be ready to get to that.
Okay, fine. Ken's trying to negotiate the question session for you here.
Canister's changed out, huh?
Thank you.
Okay, Ken, we're on and ready for that debriefing, and you should be getting Jack's final net also.
Okay. Okay, before we start on those questions, are you prepared to copy some liftoff times and your data book and that kind of stuff?
About 10 seconds.
All right. Okay, this is Rev 44. Lift off 174 plus 13 plus 49er. TPI 177 plus 01 plus 00. Okay, I'll give you just a lift off time, excuse me. For Rev 45, 176 plus 12 plus 19er. 178 plus 10. Plus 49er. 180 plus 09er plus 20. 182 plus 07 plus 50. 184 plus 06 plus 20. Rev 50 is 186 04 50. Over.
Okay, Ken, starting with 44, 174, 1349, 176, 1219, 178, 1049, 180, 0920, 182, 0750, 184, 0602, 186, 0450. And what's the present rev, please?
Okay, we're coming up on 40. In fact, it looks like we're in 44 right now. Okay, and Jack, how about let's confirm that Rev 49 was 184.0620.
No, I did have that wrong in the seconds. 20 seconds.
That's from it. Okay, and we got your biomed coming through.
Well, one. Am I alive?
Just barely.
not like to believe that you read that one wrong, because I've gone through 50 copies on that without a mistake.
Well, I'll settle that with
50 rest.
All right, sir. And
okay.
Looks like it's about time for an eat period, and I've got these questions for you, but let's keep in mind that that's secondary, and if it ever gets in the way of eating, why holler up and we'll just drop it right there. We're about an hour and a half behind the timeline, and we're going to make up no more than an hour of that.
Okay. Well, I think... Okay, Ken, we're cutting into the chow, and go ahead.
Okay. Would you like for me to just read you all the questions and let you mull those over before you work on it, or do you don't want to do one at a time?
One at a time is better, Kim.
All right, sir. Number one, I want to know if the blue-gray rocks at Station 6 are similar to those at Station 2.
And I think they are, but I think you'll find that the ones at Station 6 are much more metamorphic rock, or recrystallized rock, than the ones we had at Station 2. I had the impression that the ones we were sampling at Station 6 were really inclusions in the in orthositic gabbro, and had been probably considerably metamorphosed by being included in it. Whereas the ones we had at Station 2 were a separate rock type, apparently, as I recall it, anyway.
Okay, that's good.
Ken, let me just say that my impression is that there was a lot more action in the rocks at Station 6 than 2. I saw a lot more. A lot more was evident. The inclusions and some of the patterns, some of the other things we saw.
All right, sir. Let's go on to the second one. And it said, do we understand that there were no breaches at Station 8?
In the one at Baron Orthopyroxene Plagioclase Rock was a breccia in the sense it was fractured and was ejected by dark glass, but it would be what we'd call a mosaic breccia in that respect, I think, and not the didn't see any Station 6 or Station 2 type breccias there at all, other than the subfloor gabbro that Orthopyroxene Plagioclase Rock was the only major rock type I think we saw, unless we picked up some in the rake sample.
Okay, the third one says, what are your impressions of the distribution of familiar subfloor gabbros throughout the EVA 3 traverse?
Well, I don't know. I think we discussed that a little bit on the traverse, quite a bit, as a matter of fact. The impression I had was that most of the traverse on the plains, with the one exception of Van Zert Crater, we were in box fields or fragment fields that were almost, well, were dominantly subfloor, and visually from the rover, I had no impression of any other significant rock type, with the exception of occasional blocks of the gray variety of the subfloor gabbro. And I don't know what Gene's impression was. He was driving a lot, but pass it on.
Well, I think we actually even commented when we hit the breaking slope coming back out of Station 6 and 7, and then back off at coming back out of 8, how the terrain features changed. I think that was due principally to the what we've been calling subfloor material evident. And there again, it was what I would say, particularly mantled, filleted, much like we have here where the limb is, with the exception of Van Third, where we actually saw fragmental boulders, for the most part, a lot less buried, sitting on a surface.
All right, sir. At Van Surg, some rocks were described as great wretches, and some contained white fragments. Was there a variety of wretches present?
I think not, Ken. My impression was that there was a variety only in their in the degree to which they were fractured. We found and sampled, I think, the two main ones, extremely fractured rock that I said was friable in any way. It broke into small pieces very easily with a hammer or in your hand if you worked at it. And the other was a breccia that was much more cohesive than that. It was not fractured or friable at all, but they both were on the rim, and I think they were just varieties of probably a shock fracturing.
Okay. Could the Van Surg breccias correlate with the blue-gray material at Cochise?
That's possible, I guess, but my first guess would be that the blue-gray at Cochise was blue-gray subfloor. And, well, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. We, maybe with the pictures we have, we can work out the approximate attitude on that contact that I talked about at Cochise and see if it would project over reasonably to Van Surg. I wouldn't be surprised if it would. That's a good point. To me, they look very similar.
Okay. And you guys sure you're eating?
But Ken?
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're eating. We're fixing and eating at the same time.
You're mighty efficient. Go ahead, you were starting to say something.
Back in, I think from the distance we saw the blue-gray in Cochise, you couldn't make a definite correlation, but it's a good idea and ought to be considered as one of the possibilities. The other is that we just had a window in the subfloor that coincidentally, I mean, what underneath the subfloor might be that breccia. Coincidentally, the Van Surg impact hit that window.
Okay. Can you tell us anything about the cow pie at Van Surg? Was it a clast in the breccia?
Negative. There was a, excuse me, I have my mouth full.
About time.
It was an aggregate of irregular, looked like agglutinated glass and fragments just sitting down the rim of Van Surg. And the reason I said I thought it was in place or had fallen there and crystallized there is that there were four or five similar fragments arranged in a small coherent area. Not making that very clear, I don't think, but it looked as if it hit and broke apart upon hitting a little bit, but didn't really splatter or break apart in any significant manner.
All right.
There are similar things. I'll tell you what it looks like. If anybody's walked up the rim of Kilauea-Iki in the ash out there, and on top of the ash there are bombs that were fairly clearly molten when they hit, and they just enough strength to break as when they hit, but the individual pieces didn't move very far at all, and you could see that pattern on Kilauea Hiki, and it was the same kind of thing, except there was no directional aspect of it here.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say it's volcanic glass. That's just the kind of pattern it was.
Okay. Can you tell us if the darker material in the bottom of Ansur was similar to the collected rim material?
I think so, except that as Gene pointed out, the glass were coarser. They were coarser in the bottom than what anything we saw in the rim.
Okay. Are there any distinctive features other than color to separate tan from blue-gray breccias, such as joining or massive nature, or continuity, anything of that nature?
Yeah, where do we find those tan breccias?
Challenge it, Bob. I think we were talking about some of them. I think at station one, the first night, we had both natures. In fact, I think we had, didn't we have two of those in the same rock together?
Oh, they were both gabbros.
Yeah, excuse me.
They were tan gabbros and blue-gray gabbros.
Roger. Okay, yesterday, excuse me, I wasn't reading the question. Okay, the breccias. There were tan and blue-gray breccias yesterday at station two, were there not? We had the two types of breccias at station two.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And now I think back, I guess that's the main difference between the tan rocks at station two and station six. But the ones at six appear to be have an igneous texture, or at least a very crystalline texture, and